All right, wonderful, wonderful. Recording in progress with the dog in the background. I don't know if that's Jax or if that's another dog, but welcome to whoever's dog is making a little noise, and we're happy to have them here too. My name's Andy Marks. I'm joined here by my LHON live co-host, Jessica.
Hello, it is Jessica
There she is.
and just Jessica today.
Just Jessica. Okay, fantastic. Jess is in Denver, probably.
Yes.
But I'll give you our usual spiel here up at the top of our call. First of all, thank you to everyone who's here for our November 2023 LHON live call here on the first day of the month. The opposite of Halloween Eve. I don't know what you call the day after something, but November 1st, 2023. Thank you all for being here. As many of you know, Jessica and I had the pleasure of meeting back in, I say this every month and I get confused sometimes, June of 2014. Within a year of both of us basically being diagnosed with LHON, we were attending what was our first LHON conference in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, there in 2014. The same conference many of you have been to since. We really quickly realized how neat it was to connect with other people who were a part of this LHON community, how we all have a very unique life and lifestyle and set of situations when it comes to our family and a lot of our friends that we connect with on a day-to-day basis, but how shared our experiences are with people who are within this community and going through a lot of the same things that we go through on a daily basis. So we wanted to tap into that really cool benefit throughout the year without all having to fly to Pittsburgh, as much as we love it there. And so a couple months later, in August 2014, we had our first LHON live call, which we've been doing every month since. We meet here the first Wednesday of every month. Topics and formats of this call vary from time to time. Occasionally we have guest speakers. Occasionally we have very specific topics. Other months we come here with a pretty blank slate and really just want to allow the call to flow naturally and benefit whoever happens to be here as best we can. So later on in the call, we'll be really opening up the floor up and allowing any conversations or topics to come up that you all may have. Those could be on something seasonal, something pressing that's happening lately. It could be around Halloween. It could be around cooking a meal for Thanksgiving or things that we're thankful for. Could be around the holidays, or it could be around just something you have questions about. Maybe you're new to this LHON lifestyle. Maybe you've been a part of this community for 20 years, but this is your first LHON live call. Many of you come every month. We appreciate you. And if there are things you want to talk about, we encourage that as well. But before we get there, this portion of the call is being recorded. I want to remind you all, and I want to say hey to Jess. How are you, Jess?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. Just survived our very first wintry mixed snow here in Denver.
That's
And so
great.
yeah, one down, one like the rest of the winter to go. Yeah. What
I
about
don't
you,
like that at all.
Andy?
I'm actually flying to your home state in a couple days.
Arizona.
I will be, this weird to me, I will be in Arizona when daylight savings doesn't happen.
Ooh.
which is interesting because I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, oh, I'm gonna be in Arizona when I have to fall back. And then I was like, but I won't do that because they don't do that.
Unless you go to the Indian reservation.
Yes, unless I happen to be there. I'm there for a wedding, so I don't think we're going to be observing the day I pay this time on the reservation. But I'm excited for that. It just means when I fly again, it will be one other hour of weirdness that happens when I fly back to the East Coast to spend a little bit of time with my family in Charlotte right after this trip. It'll be Chef's first flight, by the way, too. So he's excited for that. He keeps talking about it.
I'm sure he has a lot of things to talk about, a lot to say. So yeah, I mean, it's a big deal for Jeff, so I understand. Oh, that's great. And well, and you won't lose any sleep with daylight savings in Arizona, so you get to keep all your sleep. I mean, that's what we lose or anywhere else.
But the upsetting part is this is the time when I'm supposed to be gaining an hour. Like it'd be different if I were going there the time when I lose an hour. Now I feel
Oh,
like I'm
that's
just like
true.
missing out.
It's true. Well, you get an extra hour to party in the wedding. Break out those dance moves.
I
An
mean, in a
extra hour.
way.
You get an extra hour on that plane home.
Yes. That's yes, exactly. That sounds fantastic, John. Thank you for bringing that up.
With Chef. Perfect.
No, it'll be just fine. We will all manage and make it through. But I am looking forward to it. It's interesting. I always go to Arizona in November. I used to, as you know, Jess, I used to visit there for Thanksgiving many years in a row, and it's been a long time since I've been there. Well, I was there, I guess, in Tucson last year for a board meeting with you. But otherwise, I haven't been there in November in a long time. So I'm looking forward to that. What do you have coming up over the next month or so? Are you doing any traveling around Thanksgiving?
No traveling, which is pretty exciting and pretty nice. So pretty low key here, just back in marathon training. So trying to navigate scheduling and dogs and ice. So we're kind of back in that season again. And I always said I was done running marathons, and same as last words. And there's actually a really big group of blind, visually impaired runners that are all going to the Houston Marathon. Actually, I saw the list is about of 60 people between blind, visually impaired, mobility, and hand cycle, all going to the Houston Marathon. It looks gigantic. And so,
I was going to say, what marathon are you? You said you're preparing for Houston. That is one of the marathons. I do not know the date of. I do know that New York City is this weekend, and I know that Boston is in April-ish. When is Houston?
I was like, good call. Houston is MLK weekend, so like January 12th, 13th, 14th, one of those days. I'm told it's going to be beautiful in Texas at that time, so I'll reach out to my Texas friends to confirm that weather. But just excited to kind of be with a ton of other athletes with disabilities, and so we'll go for it. I'm excited. Oh, yeah, go New York City Marathon this weekend. That's one of my absolute favorites. So,
yeah, that's exciting. Well, I know you and I had a non-existent real prep call for this to decide that a lot of what we want to talk about this month is just whatever is on the minds of the individuals here. We have a good number of folks, but also small enough to be able to have a really healthy conversation with everyone here. There are a few things that we kind of would love to hear from you on. Obviously, we mentioned that we occasionally have guest topics or guest speakers on these calls. We're looking at planning some new guest speakers, whether that's in December of this month, or sorry, of this year, or into 2024. So we'd love to hear if any of you would like to nominate someone to be a guest speaker, or even point someone out to us or direct us toward a particular topic that you'd like to have a guest speaker on. So we can be thinking about that. Any topics that we want to really be already planning for in 2024, I encourage you all to voice those to us. But otherwise, just want to kind of allow this time to be used for any of us to talk about things that are on our minds, whether they are seasonal or just anything we can help with you today. These calls are, as many people could tell you, have helped people from everything from how to prepare a grilled cheese to how to navigate an airport. So any questions you have, we probably have a wealth of knowledge from the combined experience of everyone here today. So no questions are not worth asking. So I'll be quiet now.
Okay, I'll go. Hi, my name is Tanya York. I'm from Connecticut. My husband was recently diagnosed, as in last week, with LHON mutation 11778, and we had the diagnosis confirmed in the conversation today with the neuro-ophthalmologist again, and filed to have him declared legally blind. So just wanted to say hi.
I appreciate that. But first and foremost, thank you for being here, Tanya. I know there wasn't necessarily a question at the end, but I appreciate you voicing that. There is a lot of information I could start spewing at you right now. I'm going to avoid doing that too much, but you are doing a lot of the right things being here and being connected to this community as someone who was once in your shoes, or rather once in your husband's shoes. I know a lot is happening right now, and there's a long to-do list, and I'm glad you're there to kind of navigate that with him. It sounds like you're already working on a lot of those things. There are things that we could help guides to talk about technology and ways of doing the things that your husband likes to do or should learn to do. And just want to say welcome and thank you for being here. And I don't want to pat ourselves on the back too much about the value of these calls, but they have developed relationships between different individuals that have been beneficial to call out any number of the actual functional benefits that I'm speaking about, but also just having a community to lean on and share this experience with in a way. I know everyone kind of goes on their own journey, and it's helpful to have a support network like your husband has in you and in others. But if there are any specific questions you have around this time or what to expect at any point in time, let us know. We're glad you found this community despite the maybe unwelcome circumstances that led you here.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Tanya, yeah, where are you in Connecticut?
We live in Stamford.
Okay.
I hope the safe space. Sorry. He's 52, and this is not something we were expecting at all. And we have a young son. So it's just this period of time right now is just really tumultuous. So I know at some point it will settle down and it will, this will become a new normal, but we're hoping that we do all the things that everyone says to do, the treatments and getting to the right doctors, that something will come from this. So thank you.
Yeah, no. Right. And first and foremost, certainly a very safe space. I know someone else is speaking, so I'll go ahead and be quiet.
Sorry, I think I'm funny and I'm not. So sorry.
No.
Hey, Tanya.
Wayne, go ahead.
Is there any history in his family?
No. No history at all.
Okay. I'm Wayne.
Okay, Tanya,
hi, Wayne.
I've had it for 44 years. 11778, and I was affected in 1979 at the age of 21.
Wow.
So,
Tanya,
go ahead, Maria.
Oh, sorry. Tanya, hi, it's Maria. I'm also affected, and I've been affected for 10 years, and I was affected at the age of 50 with two children. Wow. And so I was right in the same range-ish as your husband. So I definitely know at what point of life this is, which is you're not older, you're not younger, you're kind of in the middle of doing everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're definitely in the right place for sure. And, you know, we've all, many of us who are affected on this call have been in your husband's shoes. And like Andy has been in it, same amount as me on, you know, the host, and Jessica, you're longer than me. And it's been 10 years. So you'll make it through. It may not seem that way. And it's kind of maybe a little bit like shock and surprise. Like, what is this? Never in our wildest dreams did we think this would be something that would enter your family. But there are many people here, including myself, and Lisa points to know who you may have already been in touch with, can certainly put you in touch with people who can speak the language and the things that you may be going through, but also your husband, if he is at the point where he'd like to speak with someone who's affected, where there's plenty of people here for him as well.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm right here.
Right. I would say that there are any number of people here, to your point, Maria, Tanya, who would be happy to connect with you or your husband. We're not forcing that on anyone because, as Maria noted, different people take different journeys toward being ready for different parts of this. And yet a lot of this is a shared experience. I mean, most people you've heard speak tonight are sharing the same gene mutation that your husband has, me included, Jessica included. So that doesn't mean the experience is the same. It doesn't mean we were affected at the same age or anything like that. But some of those experiences are the same. And if you or your husband would like to connect with someone over the phone and you haven't already, we can coordinate that for you. And frankly, I'll go ahead and raise my hand here as someone who's only a train ride away from you. Happy to connect in person near the New York City area as well, if that's something anyone ever needed to do. So,
thank you.
Of course, of course.
And the amazing thing is, no matter how different we are, it's amazing how similar our experiences are. It really is. I mean, no matter what your age is or when you're affected, there's such a commonality. It kind of blows my mind sometimes.
It is so. Very strange. I mean, I'll share even little things. My wife, who I've been with for 10 years at this point in time, will kind of smile to herself when she sees me walking around with someone else who has LHON, and just laugh to herself at the fact that that person does some of the things that she sees me do every day and hasn't ever seen anyone else do until that moment. Yeah. So it's pretty cool when those experiences happen. And not that any of us love this experience or not being able to see as well as we once did, but it's a community that shares a lot in common, and that's a very neat thing. So
if you're going to go through it, might as well do it together, right?
Exactly. So in a word, Tanya, welcome to you. And what's your husband's name, if you don't mind me asking?
His name is Brian. He's not, I asked if he wanted to join tonight, and he's not quite ready yet. So
no,
I'm fine. Valid.
Yep. Totally fine.
That makes total sense. And I'm not saying
understandable.
Being here, that's okay too, but we're glad you are, and I appreciate you speaking up.
Thank you.
Hey, Connie, does your husband work?
He had just started his own business, a building company, right when this happened. So we were working with that as well. So it's a little bit challenging and daunting right now, but it's so helpful to hear that there is another side once we get past this. So.
Oh yes.
And my name's John. I'm 48 years old, so I'm kind of close to his age, but I've had it for 28 years. So.
Okay, thank you, John.
So I'm Rob.
But love to talk. I'd talk to him when he's ready too, for sure.
Thank you so much.
Oh yeah.
Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, I was just gonna say I was affected at 52. One son, who was about 16 years old at the time. And so I'm imagining that he's probably feeling overwhelmed. Of course, everyone feels like, what do I do? What's next? All these questions. And I mean, the one thing I think helps is to just take everything one step at a time, and whatever you can figure out one day, figure that out and see what you can do the next. But you can't solve it all at once, right? But being here and finding this group this early on is an awesome step. So whatever, a lot of people here that understand what he's going through and care legitimately. So I'm sure we'd all love to hear from him when he's ready and be here for you all. So I just wanted to let you know, I totally, totally understand. There's so many things that help, but what may help one person may not help another. We could all give lists of things that we've done and do, but it's what works.
Mm-hmm.
I found that binocular scopes helped me to see traffic signals at about a 10 power. It's all trial and error and finding what works. And most at the beginning and early, legitimately, you probably feel like, what do I do? What will I be able to do in the future? And what I've found 2 years down the road is that you'll be surprised at how many things that you may think that you can't do, that you can find new ways to do them as well, just in different ways. Well, like all of us have gone through here. So there's light for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Tanya, my name is Jerry, and I run the spouses group, which I know you've already found. Mm-hmm. Thank you for finding us so quickly.
Thank you. But
just know that this community is here for you as well. We're all here to support you and your husband. And if you need anything, you can reach out to me on the Facebook page.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate all this.
Of course.
Sorry, I didn't mean to monopolize the whole half hour. Well, I know it's an hour long, but I didn't mean to monopolize it. So thank you for letting me vent.
It's why we do this.
Yeah, I would say, Tanya, while I know it seems like we're focused on you, and we certainly like to surround new folks with love, and I hope you're feeling that. At the same time, I don't want to put too much pressure on you either, because I'm just glad you're here to even just listen to what other folks have to say. So if there are any other questions or topics or things that people do want to talk about, we're happy to hear those now too. They could be questions that came up over the last month, or things that have happened for you, or things that you're expecting to happen that maybe we could help you navigate with our combined experiences.
I think if Tanya has any more questions, she has the floor. That's a pretty big deal. Just coming out. And my wife would love to talk to you too if you want to. So she's 47. Amazing. She's been dealing with it.
I'm 46.
We met when I could. How old are you?
I'm 46.
Okay, yeah, she's 47. But we met when I had 20/20 vision. We dated for 6 months, and then for certain reasons, she stuck with me and still married. But
okay.
Wayne will probably tell you. Wayne knows her, so.
I guess one question I have that I've, so we're focusing on a lot on like the health aspect right now. He's doing all the things that they say to do. We're scheduling an appointment with hopefully an appointment with an expert in New York City. But then what are some of I really liked what you said, Rob, about your monocular scopes. Like, what are some of the technology pieces that I should be looking at for him? His peripheral vision is really like distorted, and it's hazy and grainy, and that's really, he's struggling with that right now.
Yeah.
Yes. You just described it. This is Maria. I'm affected. You just described it. Our vision is like looking through frosted glass, and it's grainy, at least for some. You just described my vision. Again, I lost it at 50. And I'll say number one is that we all use our phones. We all use computers. And that was one of the things when I was first affected, was that all shut down because I couldn't see my phone. I couldn't see my computer. But we all learn to use our phones and computers. We just use it a different way. Right. And I would, if he's an iPhone user, is he an iPhone?
No, he uses a Sony. Xperia.
So I'm out on that one. But
yeah, I looked up the accessibility options. Toss it.
Wayne's like, toss yeah. it now. Get an iPhone.
Yeah,
he got an iPhone.
He got some biased iPhone users on this call, right?
Yeah. I would say.
That guy.
There are a number of accessibility features available on lots of phones. A lot of blind folks do use iPhones because they were kind of first to integrate a lot of the accessibility that we are all used to using on a day-to-day basis now. But to your broader question, Tanya, in terms of the types of tools that we're all using on a daily basis, they do differ. And I think Rob may have said this, like they differ by individual. Mm-hmm. You may be able to get an appointment with a low vision specialist that may come through your Connecticut State Division for Blind Services and or another an appointment you have. But if you get an appointment with a low vision specialist, ideally they could allow your husband to test out many, both just physical hardware, but also technology. Those could involve a large scale CCTV, which is a like stationary device that allows him to blow up things and have them be a size where maybe they are usable for him. If his vision is not usable in that way, there's lots of apps that are available on phones to describe images that could be taken from pictures. There are devices that help with vision, things like, and I'm just going to say some things here now, like eSight or Iris Vision. Then there are other devices like OrCam or apps on your phone that basically describe verbally what is seen in a picture. So lots of these things are things that could be tried out. I will note that many of them are quite expensive, Tanya. So you would probably get some advice from individuals here. Don't just start writing checks for random things. That generally is not the advice we would give, where you can't try something out first and give it a real good try, because different things work for different people. And that's why we hesitate probably to give very prescriptive advice here. But lots of those things can be useful to different individuals. In general, a smartphone that has some degree of a screen reader available, and or a laptop that allows for a screen reader technology, and maybe magnification if that's something that works for your husband. You heard Rob mention a monocular, and sometimes there are other, whether they're portable CCTVs or just magnifying monoculars like what he mentioned. I know Wayne on the call has used those in the past as well. There are lots of things in that realm. I mean, there are other things like mobility devices, like canes, or there are many guide dog users here in this group as well. So all of those are things we could talk intelligently about. But
we're being very practical. I was just going to say that there's also, from an entertainment standpoint, if you stream, there's so much content that has audio descriptions that makes the, watching entertainment so much easier for someone that can't see, because, you know, it explains what's going on when there's no dialogue.
Oh, and the audio description.
A lot of that is more native than it was. That's
something we have access to, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm part of I joined the assistive technology group too. So it's good to hear, like, try things out. And I'm also thinking, like, do I get him set up? That, like, there's so much stuff. Do I get him set up with something at Lighthouse Guild or something to help him learn all this stuff? Or I guess I'll.
And some of it can be very helpful, but some of it can also be exhaustive. In lack of a better word, like
overwhelming.
Overwhelming. And it can help to a certain extent, but sometimes it's great to just, you know, nudge your neighbor and say, hey, can you help me do this? And neighbor, husband, son, whatever. To that point too, there's an app called Ira, and Maria may be the best to speak to this, but Ira is my best friend. So, Maria, do you want to give a high level overview of Ira? Because that's probably the easiest jump to for help and independence.
Yeah. Again, it's Maria. I'm affected. Ira is basically an app where you can connect with a live agent who has been vetted and background checked and all of that, who can actually connect into your phone and use your phone's camera to look at things for you. And whatever it is, if you need something read to you or described, they can look, you know, use your phone's camera to do that, all the way from the washing machine dial to packaging, things of that sort. They also can team view into a computer and help you do anything you need on your computer. I'd say, you know, not everything, but anything you need. They can actually fill in documents, questionnaires, look at statements, things of that sort, and then verbally give you the description or read all the way through something, and then even do a checkout. Like if you're buying something, they'll fill everything in for you, all that. It's kind of like having an assistant, I guess. But it is a subscription service and you do pay for a certain amount of minutes, that kind of thing. But the freer version of that is there are apps. It's an app called Be My Eyes. That's when you can connect to just a volunteer, again, not background check, not vetted, that kind of thing. So it's just for I need them to read these instructions to me on this back of this box. You can connect to a volunteer. They have over 3 million volunteers, and people use that quite a bit, and that is free. And it's an app on your phone. So those are two ways to do, get help.
Maria, I'm going to add two things there, if you don't mind. One, only because we keep saying Ira, and it's not overly intuitive how that's spelled. So in case you're curious, Tanya, that's A-I-R-A is how you spell Ira. And then on Be My Eyes, I'll say this to you, but I'll also say this to many other folks on the call who may or may not be aware, Be My Eyes launched a non-volunteer based product earlier this year, actually, that leverages artificial intelligence to be able to help you with in real time as well with any questions you have. So while maybe sometimes not as good as a volunteer, I've heard of many blind individuals who prefer that product over the other because you aren't having the social awkwardness of having to deal with the person in some people's minds. So just wanted to add those 2 points.
And to those points, like, I mean, even the social awkwardness sometimes is easier than asking a family member or a friend for help. Cause it's like, ugh, I don't want to keep asking my husband for, you know, to read me these instructions or to put my Band-Aid on or, you know, just little things like that, where sometimes asking a stranger is easier. So just, I don't know, early on thoughts.
Yeah, and Megan's Band-Aids apparently come with instructions. I've never seen that come.
Yes, they do.
And Tanya, it's not just technology, but one thing that may be really hard for your husband is asking for help. You know, that was super hard in the beginning, is to ask for help. And you end up in this ball of frustration when you're having this hard time asking someone to help you do something you used to do by yourself. And or you're trying to do something by yourself and it's taking 78 times longer because it just requires help. And that may, you know, those kind of things are not technology, but it's learning that it's okay to ask for help. And but that's a tough one too. That's a tough one. So how old's your son? Did you say you have a son? I'm sorry, Tanya.
Yes, he's 8.
Okay. Well, many of us are parents. My daughter was 13 and my son was 19 when I was affected. You know, just what a 13-year-old daughter wants is her mom to go blind at 13. That was super great. Yeah. And starting high school all in the same month.
No.
Yeah, it was rough. But I've since also become a grandmother and I babysit my grandchild by myself, and I adore him, and you know, he doesn't know I'm blind, but we have so much fun together because you do learn to adapt to workarounds, figure things out. We actually, I think, become a lot smarter at how to do things because we have to figure out other ways to do some things sometimes. But you know, so life does go on, and he will be able to enjoy all the things that your child will do going forward. He just will enjoy them in a different way. And I know that makes no sense now, but it is a little bit of the hump that he will have to get over. Like many of us have, that it's not a bad life. It's just a different life. And you know, it does go on.
I would add here, Tanya, and this is a point that is probably not relevant to you at all at this point in time. And all I hope is that 5 years from now, you remember me saying this when your son is 13, that when I've watched children grow up as a part of this community, and usually not a blind individual themselves, but adjacent, a family member of someone, they grow up with a degree of empathy for other people in this world that is quite remarkable, and a place and a real responsibility to be able to help out others, because they're used to helping out parents in a way at times where there are times that children can do things that maybe their parents can't do. And that's not often the case for lots of individuals, but I've watched small cousins of mine grow up around me and just be better people as a result of it in a way that's quite remarkable. And I wish you weren't here tonight in a way, Tanya. I wish you weren't going through this, and I wish your husband had no idea what the letters OHON stood for. But there are aspects of this community that breed empathy in a way that I think is meaningful and powerful for a lot of us.
Andy, it's Maria. I will second that, Andy, because my kids, I do feel, became, they grew up differently after I became affected, with the empathy, willingness to help, paying special attention to just certain things that I don't think they would have unless I went blind. So I agree with you 100%, Andy. I've written about that, is that they are more empathetic, kinder people when they're not around people who might need help or disabled. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. And that's very, very much true. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all. And they will learn to help your husband. I mean, your child will learn to help your husband, not in a way that doesn't make him independent. It's just helping, because your children want to help their parents. And they, you know, it'll become part of his life too, but it's not a bad thing. I think it actually makes them a richer person going forward into becoming young adults. I agree.
Thanks, Maria.
A better human, yeah. Better human being. No, I like that. I've never thought of it that way, but it would make them a better human being.
Thanks, Wayne.
That makes me feel good that will really help my husband to hear that.
All this makes me think of is Beware of Legos, though.
Legos.
Having all over the floor.
Being affected and having a lot of children, I know that I stepped on way too many Legos in my life.
No, I think that's a shared experience with many sighted individuals, though, John.
No, but it's a lot harder when you can't see.
Yeah.
Yes.
And So
my grandson dropped a piece of pizza on the floor last night, and guess who stepped on it? Oh wait, me. Little things.
Yeah.
Tanya, I was just wondering, does your husband have any military experience?
No, he does not.
Okay.
He does not. Okay. Thank you for asking.
Did you say you live in Connecticut?
Yes.
So most states have a bureau service or helpline persons. I don't know if you've looked into that, but it's definitely well worth. There's a state-run organization in every state that they're designed to help, and it's been immeasurably helpful to me by going through Michigan's Bureau of Services. They helped me get devices that I wouldn't, have thought to get, and they really did. So that's worth looking into. Also, we were talking about assistive technology, seeing AI, the two words, seeing AI, that's the one app that I use the most. It's really cool. You can have some fun with it. If you can, I don't know if it works on every phone or if it needs to be an iPhone. I think 90% of, don't quote me on my math, but most people who are blind use iPhone.
I think it works on both platforms.
Good.
Yeah, it would work with an Android platform as well. You're right, Rob. And I was going to respond to something else you said, but I think all of that advice is really good.
Yeah, thank you. Seeing AI is great when you get into a restaurant and you can't read the menu. You just open it, put it on document, and it screenshots it, reads the menu to you. It has different modes. It'll read faces and tell you everything about the face in front of you, and it can be. That's a kind of a fun game to play to see how close it can get to people's real ages. And
I haven't tried that one, Rob. I'll have to do that.
Oh yeah, it's a fun party game there. So,
Tanya, what specialist are you going to in the city?
So, Dr. Bannock is who I found online, but my husband is also very much hoping that the idebenone works, and that he sees some results, and that we can get into some sort of clinical trial or gene therapy or whatever might be available. So we just want to talk to the doctor before we get too hopeful about that. We haven't made an appointment yet. I do have to call tomorrow. So,
Are you in touch with Lissa about clinical trials? Think she's the one to, knows what's open, what's going on about that?
No, but Lissa, the only thing I have not been in touch with Lissa about that. The only thing I have done is I went on the clinicaltrial.gov to see what was available. But this is on Thursday of last week, right after we got, because my go-to when I'm stressed is to just dive right into research, and there was no cohesion or organization to it whatsoever. So I think I read 3 pages and then went to something else and didn't really dive into it. But that is something that's on the list. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's always good. You know. It's Dr. Banik, a neuro ophthalmologist.
Yes. Rudrani, okay. Rudrani Banik.
I think we've had her speak at a conference, actually. I think here, she spoke at a conference.
Yeah. I would add here, Tanya, that to I think Maria's point, Lissa, LISSA, Poinsano is a great contact to tell you if there are places you should be inserting yourself. We can make sure you get in touch with her if you haven't already. That said, definitely encourage you to get in touch with those government services and agencies within your state. Rob mentioned that as well. You'll notice if I polled this whole audience here right now, different people have different levels of success with how much of a stick in the mud you need to be to get attention from some of those services. But regardless, I would say that those services have the ability to help you a lot. Sometimes you need to raise your hand a whole lot in order to get some of that. But there are, I mean, at the very least, there's funding that you can get to help with some of the technology that you or your husband may be interested in trying out. There are independent living skill things, there are orientation mobility classes, all of these types of things that, I mean, maybe your husband's interested in, maybe he's not. There are weird stipulations where sometimes they will open a case for you and then you have the case open for a certain amount of time where during that period, they will be very liberal with how much they're able to do for you, but you have a certain window within which you're able to get assistance. And then other states work with a different framework. But I'm not sure. Molly and John Knox, maybe from Connecticut, I think. Otherwise, we can see if we can get you in touch with folks from Connecticut who have more localized experience there. But in general, I think Rob's advice here is good to get in touch with those services to see what they can offer. And they can then put you, I know you mentioned Lighthouse, they can put you in touch with agencies like Lighthouse, and those services would then be covered and things like that. Oh,
okay. Thank you. Yes. That is definitely something that after today's filing or whatever they're sending over, we will hear from them. But they said call them next week and you might have to keep calling them. So yeah, I mean, that's on my list of things to do as well. But thank you. It's good to know that you definitely have to keep calling them and that there could be certain frameworks. So
And you're close enough to the city. The other thing was, I was going to mention, is the New York School of Optometry has a low vision clinic.
Oh, yeah.
And if I remember correctly, I think it's at like 42nd and 5th Avenue. And I've gotten magnifiers and I've gotten, I use a couple of monoculars like Rob was talking about that I use that I got to try out there when I lived in New York. And I used to travel there for business. And so if you're going to be going into the city, it might be worthwhile to check them out and see what they have to offer. And none of the things that they offer are outrageously expensive. I mean, I think the glasses that I got for them are like $80. It's not outrageous.
Oh, nice. I used to commute to the city every single day. So that's right in the town where my old office was.
I did that, and that's why I moved to Florida.
I can understand that.
Tanya, I'll demonstrate how these calls benefit all of us because I have a question for John right now. Does the low vision clinic you're talking about there, John, offer cane tips? Do they have things like that available for sale or no?
I don't think so. I think it was because it literally is part of the New York School of Optometry, so it was more about lenses. So they did have all the electronic lens devices, but digital devices, but it was mostly in a device. I've gone to actually been there in person probably in 10 years because even the last time I got stuff from them, I just did it over the phone because I wasn't traveling back to New York that much. I just, I called them up and said, hey, will you send me those by mail? And they said, yeah, why not?
Love it.
But then the last time I bought the same glasses, I ordered them from an optometrist in London myself. So. But there's lots of things worth checking out, though. So just
I would say we are approaching the top of the hour with that 10 minutes left. I know, Tanya, you mentioned the length of this call early on. We normally allow this call to go as long as folks are interested, but at a certain point around the top of the hour, I like to make sure we turn the recording off. So if folks have questions they definitely didn't want to be part of the recording, we get an opportunity to field those as well. Or at the very least, allow folks to introduce themselves if they haven't had a chance. But if there are any questions, comments, feedback, we're open to that for the next few minutes.
Just to reiterate, we're here for you. We're here for you.
And thank you so much. I would just like to say to everyone, thank you. This has been so helpful. And like in all the turmoil that's been going on, I do feel a little bit of reassurance. And thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much.
Of course, Tanya. We hear the emotion in your voice and are very much here for you. And like, I mean that in as many ways as I can mean it. Is there anyone that's a part of this community that you have been in touch yet? Or is there someone that you'd like a certain particular individual or type of situation you'd like us to find that is in common with you?
I mean, I think I've been in touch with in the comments. I spoke with some people. I think I don't know that anyone. I think Lisa had sent something to me and I DM'd her as well. I think I don't have anything specific right now. I do want my husband to, I was actually, sorry, I lied. I'm looking for any resources where there's like in-person events or anything with other low vision or LHON sufferers, so that at some point my husband can actually, he can have a social life with people who understand. So that'll probably be a future thing, but yeah.
Okay. I'm not right next door, but as I said, if you did make your way into the city, there are a few of us here that I'd be happy to kind of collect together and meet your husband. That doesn't have to be anytime soon or even any month soon.
Even though it's not immediate, we do have the annual conference in June in Ohio.
And I saw that
in Ohio.
The end of June.
Yep.
And I did see that. And I, as soon as I saw that, I was like, we're going to have to do that. And he's not ready to talk about it yet, but
it's an awesome experience.
An awesome experience. It really is.
And I think that by 6 months, then he hopefully will be ready to do something.
It's like tomorrow.
And Jesse, we had over 100 and how many people we had last year? It was a big
we had about 120 last year, and we're hoping to get close to 200 in Cleveland. This is Maria again. I actually chair the conference, so you're speaking to my heart right now. And I was going to mention it, but John, who has been to a couple conferences now, mentioned it first. But yes, the LHON conference is the end of June in Cleveland, Ohio next year. And I don't have the dates offhand on top of my head, it's the last weekend. Yeah. And it is a place where your husband and yourself will meet people living your exact life and many other couples and meeting other people who are affected. Again, hopefully, like Andy said, you can meet some folks along the way, but to have a large gathering of people that you can meet that come from all over the country, even other countries, come together, and we have 2.5 days of sessions and networking and connection, and there's just nothing like it. And there's a handful of people on this call that could talk for hours about it. Wayne, John, the other John, Andy, Jessica, and I'm forgetting who else is on the call. Who could talk about the it's life changing and impactful to many who have gone, and people who went last year. I had one gal say she felt like she was rescued by meeting other people and hearing other people's stories. And she was not only for herself, but she realized what her mother may be going through, what her husband was going through as a sighted supporter. I could talk forever because I'm so passionate about it. And anyone want to say anything about it?
Well, I was just going to say.
I do.
Go, Wayne.
Don't go to Wayne's
room. Go, Wayne.
Just don't go to Wayne's room because it was full up last year.
Okay.
It's an amazing
experience. Me and Wayne like the social aspects of it, but
Yeah, there's lots of you're talking about social, Tanya. There's tons of social time for sure. Yeah. There's tons of social time, and you literally leave with an entirely new family. How else do we describe it? You leave with new people you feel like who are family.
I don't know about you all. I tend to go home at the end with my family, but
yes. I was on these calls for several years, right? So I got to know you all pretty well just from the calls. And then, you know, I was planning to go to, and then COVID hit and didn't get to go to a conference. But it's still just a different experience when you meet people in person. I mean, I've been affected for most of my life. I mean, since I was 10. Mm. And I never met anybody that was affected other than my brother, right? And until you actually met people in person. So it's just, it's worth considering going. It really is. It's an amazing experience. And the agenda that Maria and others put together to teach us about what's going on, to share our experiences, just even in the sessions, it's an amazing experience to just broaden, you know, and see what we're all going through, the same stuff.
I'd also say, Tanya, that it sounds like you have the right mindset to think that, hey, like, you don't have to talk about this with your husband right now, but 6 months from now, maybe you're both comfortable and recognize the benefits that could be gleaned from that. I know going to that, you'll get out of it what you try to and what you put in, kind of thing, like people tend to say. But I think that's an appropriate time to get him comfortable with something like that. So that'd be very cool if he's interested in something like that.
Thank you.
Of course.
I'm going to drop because I actually have to go put my son to bed. But thank you again, everyone. This has been really great.
You're welcome.
Of course. Ooh. Thank you, Tanya.
Tanya, one more thing before you drop.
We're here for you.
Tanya, one more thing before you drop.
Yeah.
I'm going to perfect segue into kind of sharing. So we do host calls all throughout the year. And so I just want to quickly share with you, like, just calls that are happening in November to kind of see. One of the coolest things we do is that there are regional calls, but there's also calls like you found the spouses call that happen all throughout the year that kind of you find the one that really just fits best. So I'll go through this pretty quick just so you have awareness, but then also for everybody else too, of kind of the calls that come up each month. And there is an email that comes out once a month too, so you can see all the calls that do happen. But there, this Saturday, there is an LH1 Plus call, and that's on Saturday, November 4th at 9 a.m. Pacific. Sorry not to hold you hostage as I tell you about all this. Next call is LH1 Connecting, and that's DC, Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, West Virginia. That call keeps expanding. And that is on Monday, November 13th, and that's at 8 p.m. Eastern. So that might be a call that could be a little bit closer to you, closer to home. Next call is Navigating Employment with LHON, also a great call to be part of. And we have, I would say, the careers everybody has is a huge variety. So it's really great, really beneficial. And that call is on Tuesday, November 14th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Next one is Moms of LHON Affected Kids. And that's Wednesday, November 15th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. The next call is LHON Pacific Northwest. And that is on Thursday, November 16th at 7 p.m. Pacific. Please note there's a little bit of a time change than our normal, so be aware of that time. And that is actually the calls for November, but lots more calls to come in December to kind of wrap up the year. So, but specifically that Maryland, West Virginia call might be at least a little bit closer to home for you. So.
It's also like in New York, so the regional calls tend to be like quarterly. So there also is a New York New Jersey. I don't know if Connecticut's there, but it's definitely a call that's closer to you as well.
There's a tri-state call. Yeah.
Tri-state call on a different cycle, right?
Yeah, right. So that call's in December. So you can definitely catch that call then.
Yep.
And then I know there's a New England call coming up at some point too.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
So we'll make sure you have access to all of that. If you're not already plugged in and connected at LHON.org, that's how you'd get all those emails, Tanya. But thank you for being here. I know you have to go tuck someone in, and I think that's a fantastic thing to do with the rest of your night.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye. Lovely meeting all of you.
Bye. Thank you, Tanya. We will be in touch.
Thank you.
As Tanya leaves us, does anyone else have any final thoughts before? I know Jessica already told us when the next calls are the rest of November, but December's call for LHO and Live will actually be December 6th. So December 6th, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, the same time, same place, as we always are. So that will be the next LHO and Live call. With that, I think we are already at the top of the hour. So I'm going to turn off the recording unless Jess or anyone, is there any final things you want to say before I get the recording off for us?
Yeah, nothing else for me on the recorded side.
All right. Thank you all for anyone listening to the recording. Otherwise, hang around, folks, and want to hear from you in just a sec. Stop recording.